So we move towards our scripture and our sermon for today. We're reading from Matthew 6, 1 through 6. It's a scripture that is often read during Lent, Ash Wednesday. Before I read, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for your presence here with us as we worship you this day in this place. May we find community, may we find love and acceptance in all things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So our scripture comes from Matthew 6, 1 through 6. It says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Goes into the next little bit, verse 5. "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into a room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So in the Methodist Church, we have what's known as personal piety and works of mercy. It's two different kind of ways in which we express our love towards God. Personal piety includes reading your Bible, coming to worship, and receiving Holy Communion. We also have works of mercy, which includes acts of compassion, feeding the hungry, clothing those in need, visiting the hurting. There are private times and public times when we do these things, these acts, these ways we express love to God. Both of them invite us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Coming to worship means you're part of a community. When you serve in acts of mercy, you are in community. When we do these things, they're amazing. We're vessels of God in the world. God chooses to involve us in the work that he's already doing, and we get to be part of it. It's a powerful thing to know that your life is pivotal. It has a pivotal role in something bigger than yourself. And we miss out on many things when we withhold ourselves and our different gifts and our different talents and treasures from the beautiful things that God has invited us to be a part of. In today's scripture, it says, "Beware of the way in which you practice your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." You see, Jesus is warning us against performing. God wants us to be authentic towards God and towards one another, to be ourselves, to be who God created us to be. He does not want us to just practice religion in order to get recognition from others, but to be part of to be a people who practice religion or giving in spite of drawing attention to ourselves. And I recognize there's a need to be recognized, to be valued, to be noticed for doing something good. There's a time and a place for those things. But Jesus is saying in this passage that when it comes to doing good things with and for God, we should be careful of how and about the need to be noticed. Look for the ways that God is giving attention. And take joy when we realize that God lets you join with him in doing what he's called us to do. So it turns out that the scripture continues from almsgiving and piety to this idea of prayer. There's a close connection between giving our treasure to God and our works of piety and living a life committed to prayer. Jesus transitions to the way and the spirit to which we pray to God. And the same as with almsgiving and gaining attention and personal piety and all those types of things, God leads us to be quiet in prayer, to humble ourselves, to give of ourselves. And so how do we pray? When do we pray? Is there a special formula to prayer? How will God answer our prayers? When will God answer our prayers? When we pray, there's no special way, no special secret, no special words, no special way to hold our hands or tilt our neck or bow our head or whatever it may be. There's no special way that God hears our prayers even more or less. It's just the act of prayer. When we pray, there's no magical lamp. It just has to be something we do. And sometimes people give up on prayer because their prayer wasn't answered the way they want it to be answered. A mother sent her fifth grader student to his bedroom, and a few minutes later, she went in to check on him and to make sure he was going to bed correctly. And when she stuck her head in, he was kneeling there, and he said, "Let it be Tokyo, let it be Tokyo, let it be Tokyo. Please, God, let it be Tokyo." And when he finished his prayer, she asked him, "What did you mean, let it be Tokyo?" And the boy said, "Well, we had a geography exam, and I was praying to God that he would make Tokyo the capital of France." You see, there's no special way. Prayer's not this magical means in which we can make Tokyo the capital of France. Prayer is an inner openness to God, which allows his divine power to be released in us. And it's not about us changing God's will for our life or God's direction for our life that we may succeed in changing God, but prayer is about God changing us to be open to his spirit in our lives. A conversation with God, which God changes us. It makes us more loving and more generous and more at peace in our life. In this morning's scripture, we notice a couple more things about prayer, and we notice that prayer is important to Jesus, the spiritual practice. God in the flesh, God who is perfect, God engaged in prayer. He prayed before and after a miracle, after healing in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he went out to the mountains, when he fed the 5,000, the night he died and went to the cross. I think Jesus is encouraging us to trust in him even when we receive, and what we receive is different than what we wanted. God won't give up on us. God won't give up on you. God won't give up on me. God will never do things that will hurt us. But he's encouraging us to be people who pray. And so I think the purpose of the scripture this morning from Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and really life itself, should not be getting personal recognition by giving glory to God. To feel gratitude just to be there, to be included, to be at work in the world with God today, to be involved in the great things that God has for your life and my life, that God will do great things through us, and we get to be part of it. And so as you consider what God is saying to you about your treasure, Remember that financial decisions are done in relationship with God through prayer. They're not purely about responsibility or obligation. They're not about guilt. But giving is a way we respond to God. And we're invited to be part of the mission that God has for us here at Northwest Hills United Methodist Church and as a Christian believer in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this worshiping community, the ways in which you're at work in so many different ways, through the giving of our people, through service, through financial giving, through purely worship and prayer and study. We give you thanks for being able to come and receive your grace and your love that we receive through the bread and the cup and all that you have done for us. We give you thanks. And so be with us as we leave this place in a few minutes and enter into the world, that we might be people who just diligently respond to your love and your grace in all that we say and all that we do. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.